So look, over the years, we've had a lot of cool guests. I'm really happy that Randy Couture, my friend, MMA legend, is here with us today because we're going to have a lot of questions for him. But before we introduce Randy, Cofield, I don't know if you know, Randy is a very diverse actor, athlete, personality. Do you know that about him?
I do know that, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Randy's listening now. So Randy, I mean, we get how you went from Roman Greco wrestler, right? Pan Am Games, that's true, right?
Greco-Roman.
Okay. Greco-Roman.
Okay. Roman Greco-Roman.
I've been drinking all day.
Close enough.
Dyslexia kicked in there. So,
wrestling expert.
Okay, but then you go MMA legend, UFC Hall of Fame, I get that. And I understand the transition from when you retire that, you go to movies, and then you go to the Scorpion King, right? You go to the Expendables. You play the big tough guy. But now I'm watching TV the other day, and man, we have a twerker at the
We're getting a sort of a lap dance as we're doing the show.
Wait,
concentrate. I thought okay. Mitch Moss couldn't concentrate.
Oh yeah, okay,
bro. See, watch.
Okay,
ready? Look. Can still do radio.
Okay.
Impervious. So almost. I'm not asking for too much.
All right. So anyway, if they can cue it up, I'm at home. Natalie and I are cooking dinner, and I hear a song on the TV. So can they cue it up?
I think we missed the cue. What song do you want again?
No. There was a song. I want to show Randy's diversity from Scorpion King, MMA legend.
Yeah. Hey, John, I don't think you got wind of this.
Oh, no, we've got it. Yeah, we do our research.
Now I admit I was a little distracted during the break.
All right. So anyway, so
I mean, you're not distracted now?
All right. Oh, no, that's it. Randy, can you hear it? So I turn on the TV.
Okay.
On the TV.
God, your voice sounds beautiful.
I wasn't singing.
Okay,
yes.
I turn on the
TV. I thought that was you.
No, but I turn on the TV and Randy Couture is in like this little spandex thing, dancing and lip singing to "Let's Get Physical" by Olivia Newton-John.
Yes.
Am I right?
That's correct.
So how did that happen?
Lip sync battle.
How did you go from MMA, UFC? It's a fair question.
Like,
right?
You really can't decide whether that things are climbing or declining. Really? It's like, which direction is he going with this?
It really is amazing.
It was fun, though. I had a blast.
Come on.
What a cool show. As soon as I saw the show, I was like, that would be so much fun. And then, obviously, a season and a half later, they're into their, I think, third or fourth season now.
Right.
I was in last season. And obviously, I had a relationship with Spike and do a bunch of stuff with Bellator. Kevin Kay, who's one of the guys at Viacom, who's in charge of all that stuff, is like, dude, we would love to get you on Lip Sync Battle, and I'm in.
Let's do it. That's what my friends asked me to ask you. Do you pick what you want to do?
You do. Do they?
Okay.
They give you a list. It's a very extensive list, though.
They do.
And it covers genres, and it covers, and then you can pick things outside the list too. But then they have to get the rights to that song.
You picked.
I picked My Prerogative by Bobby Brown.
Okay.
When I was in the army and hanging out with all the boys in the barracks and all that stuff, we used to go to dance clubs, and that song was very popular at that time.
Here
was,
or
wherever.
Oh,
I
really?
Was in New Jersey, I think, at the time when that song came out.
Seems like a New Jersey
at
song.
Fort Dix, New Jersey, to be honest.
Yeah, South Jersey.
And so I wanted to pick a song that I could dance to. That I could do the Roger Rabbit to. That I could kind of break out some of those old dance moves too, and My Prerogative was definitely that song.
The old dance moves.
And then I, you know, knowing what I know about the lip sync battle, you got to bring it. You got to just let it go.
Right.
Be reckless. Do whatever. Obviously, I didn't go big enough because I didn't wear a damn wig and a sequin dress. But you know, Fluffy did an amazing job. I actually thought he hurt himself when he slipped and fell on the floor. And he covered it amazingly.
Does your opponent know what you're going to do?
No, they won't.
So that's true.
They treat it like it's a competition.
They do.
I have my dressing room. He has his. We're in different areas. When I'm rehearsing and doing my thing, he doesn't even know what songs I pick.
Okay, because I thought that was made up.
No.
So that's not made up.
No, hell no. They do their best. And that was the funny thing. The first time we saw each other, we weren't supposed to go say hi. He's like, forget that. I'm going. And he came marching right over. And shook my hand, and you know he loves MMA and blah blah blah. So,
okay.
I hope you have a bleeper. Do you have a bleeper?
No, we have a little delay.
I hope.
Yeah. Anyway, but
John, I think you're there, right?
Thank you for that.
You're a wonderful person.
No, but anyway, but isn't that a good question? That's how diverse, and then Dancing with the Stars. When you go around the country, does everybody know you as Toll Road, or do they know you as the UFC guy, or do they know you as Dancing with the Star guy?
It's funny because it's a mix now.
It is?
It used to be solely from MMA and from fighting, and then it slowly kind of started to change over from the success of Expendables 1, 2, and 3, and then now doing Dancing with the Stars, they literally have three or four older women waiting for me to get off the plane because they want to take a picture or they want an autograph from Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
So it's actually been kind of fun and interesting. And that's certainly a whole new audience for me.
And was Dancing with the Stars easier or harder than I think?
It's hard.
Oh, my God.
It's a ton of work.
It is.
We're literally going to get a crash course in how to be a professional dancer.
And can you dance
in
at all,
weeks,
Steve?
In weeks.
Can you dance?
In weeks.
A little bit, like I two-step and all that. But I know so many celebrities have gone there and lost like 30, 40 pounds.
I was in shape, and I still lost 9 pounds.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Okay.
You're going 5, 6, sometimes 7 hours a day, rehearsing and trying to choreograph and fit these dance moves into a song, and it's not a whole song. They say, okay, this song, we have a whole crew, so everybody gets 51 seconds. And here's the 51 seconds of the song that you picked. Now choreograph a dance to fit in that 51 seconds. And then the next one, you know, a couple gets voted off, so the next week you have a little bit more time because there's fewer dance couples that have to go.
Right, right, right.
And then it just slowly kind of grows, and you get a little bit more time. But you also get less time to rehearse. I'm going, Monday night is showtime. Now once the show's over, okay, this is your dance for this week. You have now, from that Monday night until the next Monday night, to learn the new song, learn the new dance,
and
get ready to go again.
And tens of millions of people watch it.
Oh, the pressure.
All right, let's switch to a sport question because I got to ask.
Steve's here, Randy Couture. We're hanging out here at the Sapphire Day Club.
It's the first time I've been here. This pool is crazy.
So
amazing.
Look. How about a comment on, is the UFC going to get sold? And talk about a great investment.
I've heard strong rumor that it is sold.
That it's already done.
It's done. It was done a day or two ago.
Wow.
Talk about a return on investment, Cofield.
Lorenzo's out. Dana's still in. $4 billion price tag.
And you heard that
thereabouts.
First here on
I heard that
ESPN.
From fairly reliable sources that that's happened.
What do you think? I mean,
that's a crazy number.
Yeah, can any of us? It's like I can't wrap my head around it. I'm not a business expert, but it's worth $4 billion. I mean, talk about it.
Have a lot of trouble finding how that's.
Think about where you guys were when you were with them. Yeah. When they were 2005, they were like $50 million in the hole.
Yeah, when we were doing the first season of The Ultimate Fighter,
I was at the Hard Rock for the Stephen Bonner fight.
They were 40 mil down and spent another 11 to get that show on the air, and I mean. We were very concerned they were going to sell the company or the sport under that brand would die for sure.
I thought there was a story where maybe it was Lorenzo, but maybe both of them, had gone to Dana and they're like, we're done. We're done. And then Dana said, come on, just give me a little more time.
They told us where we were shooting the show. This was it. This is the last hurrah.
Really?
If this doesn't turn it around, if this doesn't happen.
No pressure.
It wasn't about pressure. Yeah. They were just being honest. It wasn't like they were putting pressure on us. I mean, we're going to do what we're going to do anyway. We're a bunch of fighters. We're going to coach, and we're going to fight. And, you know, Alex Karalexis and all the guys that were on that show, very special guys. You had no
Diego
idea.
Sanchez.
Diego, Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin, Nate Corey, Lieben.
Oh, yeah. Koscheck, busting each other's stuff.
Those guys have all done amazing things in the sport.
Be honest, when you start the reality show, are you like, this is a hunk of crap, this is not going to work?
Oh, yeah,
no,
good question. Good
you did
question.
Think it was going to be good.
No, I thought it was going to be good. I thought it was a perfect vehicle to show behind the curtain. Everybody sees that four steps up into the cage and two guys beating the hell out of each other. Nobody gets to see what goes on behind
that's
that.
A good answer.
All the training, all the preparation, all the discipline, everything else that goes into being a mixed martial artist and, before you take those four steps up.
And being human.
And that was the perfect vehicle to show that, in my opinion.
And being human, and some guys kind of wimp out and don't want to be in the house with no TV and can't call their mom or can't call their
I'm
girlfriend,
I'm telling you,
right?
that's a challenge for anybody for that amount of time. And the first season was longer than any of the other seasons.
Yep, and the guy...
It took them longer to shoot it. They honed their skills. That was the first time out. It was a full 3 months to do that. They got
guy,
it down, trust me.
The guy Chris Leavitt had substance issues, and he broke a couple of times. And
Chris
they
was one of my
chops.
Guys. He came from Team Quest in Oregon. He's one of my guys in the sport of wrestling and the sport of mixed martial arts saved his life.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
By the way, when I said it was a hunk of crap, I liked the show. I thought it was awesome.
But I'm with you. I'm not about the antics and the bull crap
right.
that all the guys are doing, the breaking the windows and the peeing on each other's beds and all the other stuff that went on. I would rather highlight the amazing training, the coaching, the everything, the game planning, everything that goes into that fight that's going to happen so that you stay on that show
right.
and get a shot at that six-figure contract.
No,
that's what's important.
And I'm addicted. I still watch them
but
all.
But that's not the train wreck that the general public wants to see. They want to see the drama and the horse crap.
I don't think that show works. First of all, the final fight was awesome because it was Forrest Griffin.
I was there.
And Stephen Bonner.
The fight of the decade.
That made it.
For sure.
But the hijinks on the show, and I'm telling you, the stuff where Levin was going crazy and you saw the bullying, people liked it.
Yeah. So if you bought it, Randy, would you keep Dana White on as the figurehead?
Actually a good question. And,
right?
And
obviously,
it's a bit of a loaded question considering the history that we have. But,
right.
But I'm kind of wondering that myself. Why? Because I hear that the company that bought it is keeping him on as the president. And I think if the UFC has a problem right now as a brand, it's an image problem and how they act and how they treat the fighters and the things that they do with the fighters that are under their stable. And a lot of that trickles down from him. His attitude when he does interviews, his attitude when he deals with the media, his attitude when he deals with his fighters. So, I don't understand. If I bought the company, I wanted to change that or to take it to the next level, I'm thinking that you need a change of face and you need a change of image. And you address a class action lawsuit and all the other stuff that's gone on in the tenure that they've been in charge.
Cofield, what do you think? Would you?
I don't have the dealings that he had. All I have are the dealings as media. So it's totally different. For the media, like I butted heads with Dana White, and I was actually there was just a banning that was a big deal with a guy named Mario Helwani recently.
And they got escorted out of the facility.
Yeah, they relented after 2 days. I was actually banned for like 11 months, but. Whatever.
He's treating the media just like he treats a lot of the fighters.
And that's the problem.
If you're not the guy that's going to sign away all your ancillary rights and let him control you head to toe, then he's going to find a way to put his thumb on you.
But here's the thing. For the media, he does have immense value because his positive, I think, as a media person outweighs his negatives. Yeah, he embarrasses himself and the company at times. He's not a great rep all the time. But they did need a bombastic voice and a powerful voice and a guy who's going to kick down doors. And he's been a pretty good voice of the promotion for the most part. But your experience is totally different because I'm not a fighter
But now you've done that. You've kicked down the doors. You're on Fox Television.
Yeah.
You're
in
all these countries.
Square Garden.
You're everywhere. Yeah. Where aren't you? Well, so do you need to keep kicking down doors? And
I'll ask you this.
Keep maintaining that particular attitude?
Because now you've worked you've worked with Bellator. What if I made the argument, hey, for the first couple of years with the new owner, you may want to keep Dana around. To have the training wheels on, and then we can make a transition. Let's not try to make a transition immediately.
I have no idea what that contract looks like and why. But
and that's what I would do as a fan.
Maybe there needs to be a comeuppance. The new owners need to get in, get the lay of the land, and figure out what's going on. They need somebody to show them the ropes. Are those really the ropes that you really want to be? I mean, some of those ropes are pretty sour in my mind.
Okay.
Let's clarify one thing. I've never worked for Bellator. They hire me on a per-event basis when they do hire me. Dana's rhetoric when I signed the deal with Spike TV was that I signed with Bellator. I didn't sign with Bellator. I've never been employed by Bellator. They've hired me for, I guess, 8 shows now on a one-off basis to be a brand ambassador for them. Like they have Royce Gracie, like they have so many other, Vanderlei Silva and a bunch of us are going to be in St. Louis as brand ambassadors for them. So that's the extent of my employment or my work
and
with Bellator.
And you need Bellator. You need some competition.
World Series of Fighting does a great job with Ray Cepho and the guys. Bellator is doing a fantastic job with Spike. UFC created that void in Spike TV. When they jumped ship and went to Fox, there was a huge void in their programming in MMA in a space that they built.
So we've got some
nobody else would put it
stuff
on
here on our Steve Sertami. That was good.
I want to ask you real quick, because you consider yourself friends with Dana.
Yeah.
And it's for both of you guys. Are you surprised if they're sold? You say it's probably a done deal. If they're sold, hey, Lorenzo's gone, you know, Frank's out, that Dana would even want to work with someone else. Are you surprised by that?
Not really. I think at the end of the day, it's a paycheck.
Yeah. And
it's his baby.
Yeah, Dana doesn't want to.
How did Lorenzo and Frank find out about it?
Dana.
Through Dana.
Yep.
It's his baby.
He's right, Steve.
But in terms of the paycheck, he should be cashing out a large amount here in the purchase.
Well,
no,
I would think.
10% of $4 billion is $400 million.
You're pretty good. It's good math.
Yeah. No, but I know
that's what I was
he might have set up a credit line or two for a whale. Here
there. No, but I think with Dana, and I would say this to Dana, with Dana, it's about ego, and it is his baby, and he doesn't care if I own it. He wants to run it. That's what I think. I think Dana will try to stay as long as Dana can.
I wouldn't be surprised if he left with his pals, but you guys know him better than I do.
I wouldn't be surprised, and if I'm him and the stress and the constant travel and all the things that he does when he's got a lovely wife and three children, I think you cash in and spend the rest of your life hanging out with your family.
Well, and then are the Fertittas,
that's just me,
Or is Dana going to end up owning 10% of the Raiders?
I don't know if he'll own 10%.
There's a lot of truth that's coming.
Right.
That they're coming here.
What do you think?
And that the Fertittas are involved in bringing the Raiders here and building new stadium and all that. I mean, those are all great things for Vegas.
Makes sense.
And I will say that. The station casinos are some of my favorite places to go hang out. I've lived here for 10 years now. And Red Rock is still one of my favorite places to go hang out.
All right. So, I like it. All right. Is it break time?
We got a couple more minutes.
Oh, we do?
We got a few more.
Okay, well then, what I wanted
stick
to ask
with us for like two more.
Is Expendables 4, is it happening? Is that
I believe it's happening. It's been greenlit. We're waiting on a script now. I do think because we're approaching summer, they need to start getting their ducks in a row, and we still haven't seen the script. I know there is a script. It's being adapted.
All right, here's a good question. When you get
it's
the
supposed
script,
to shoot in the fall, but I think it's going to get pushed.
Okay, so Cofield, how about this? When you get the script, be honest, do you go to the end and see if Toll Road is killed?
Well, I read the whole thing to see if Toll Road gets killed. Absolutely. You got to read the whole thing and see how Toll Road fits in. What part is he have in it? You know, obviously it's an ensemble cast. There's give and take there. There are guys there that have to have their moment. Schwarzenegger has to have his moment in that film.
Sly.
Or two. Well, Sly is a given.
Right.
Jason Statham, one of the biggest action stars of our time right now. You know, now is Harrison Ford coming back or not coming back? You know,
cool is it for you?
Mel Gibson died in the last one, so he's not coming back.
Right, but you're kind of even.
But now
you're
Wesley Snipes, you know, all the young guns we had with Kellen Lutz and Ronda Rousey and Victor Ortiz and Glenn Powell, are they bringing the young guns back into this storyline?
How
story
cool is it for
not?
You to be? We'll call you now. You're not a rookie, but a rookie actor around those guys.
It's amazing. I mean, if I want to learn how to. Friggin' Steve Sear,
right?
Because that's you learn from the best. When I was on the Greco team, we went and wrestled Russia, and we went and wrestled Scandinavia, and we went and wrestled the Turks. Because you gotta bang heads and wrestle with the best if you want to be the best. And I'm getting a chance now in three movies to hang out with some of the best guys in the film industry,
and
certainly
you told
in the
me
action
before,
genre.
Like he's all business.
They're amazing. They're amazing. All of them. They're prepared. There's no drama. Everybody thinks there'd be drama and posturing and
with all those
all
stars.
All this, you know what, measuring. There's just none of that. It's you feel like you're part of a team, like your old high school football team.
Wow.
Of all
you're telling
those
jokes and you're making each other laugh and you're having fun, and then you get to gear up and go shoot a scene. It's fun.
Of all of those megastars you just mentioned in this franchise, who's the most down there? Who's the most down to earth? I had to check it out for a second.
Down to earth.
Yeah, where you were like, my God, this person is.
They're
like the
all
most
great guys. I spent the most time with Terry Crews, who's an amazing man. Dolph Lundgren.
Really.
And Jason Statham. Those are the three guys I kind of spent the most time with. I saw in the gym on a regular basis, you know, outside of being on set and doing our job. Those are the guys I saw the most.
How do they react to you? You know, like movie badasses against real life badass.
It's not an issue. It's not something. We're not.
I don't mean they're like stepping up.
No,
to you,
no, no.
But are there times?
I mean,
they're
appreciative of what I did. I'm appreciative of all the things they've done. We all kind of have our things that we're good at. That we hope that we're going to get a chance to exhibit some of that in the course of the movie and the shooting. You know, in the third one, I had to kind of fight for some fight scenes. I hadn't really didn't end up making the final edit, but. Like, dude, I haven't kicked anybody's ass in this movie yet.
Let's go.
I mean, I have fans that are going to want to see me kick somebody's ass.
Right, right, right.
And it hadn't happened yet. And so I talked to the director about that. Sly agreed with that. We did a whole fight scene on the stairwell, and I got to kind of poke fun at Dolph because I was running with Dolph. We just escaped a tank that we'd stolen and blown a bunch of stuff up. And you know, he's lagging behind.
And
I end up running into these four guys.
Do you do your own stunts?
As much as they'll let you. That's the thing about movies. When they start blowing stuff up or you start doing some of the high wire falls and some of the stuff, the insurance company will not let you.
Is that right?
He's not expendable.
If your key actors got injured, they couldn't finish shooting the film.
The reason I mentioned that is that... I'm sure you're still friends with Frank Trigg. I guess Trigg is doing some stunt work.
Twinkle Toes is doing a bunch of.
He's doing a bunch of stunt work.
Yes.
I was like, apparently he's expendable
in Hawaii, and he's making his living off being expendable for sure.
That's cool though. It's cool to see that many fighters make a transition to do something after their career
and doing a great job. Jay Haran's another one, a good friend of mine, and doing an amazing job in the stunt world and doing some acting. He's trickling in and getting some speaking parts and doing some things too. And
it's cool.
There's a number of guys.
No, I looked you up on IMDb, and you've done a ton of movies now, right?
I've done 29, I think.
Is that right?
I've been doing this for 15 years. That's what shocks me, is like it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but my very first movie experience was Cradle to the Grave.
Oh, Cradle to the Grave with...
Jet Li and DMX.
DMX, yeah.
That was my first time kind of being on a set for a full-length feature film, and it was like going to Oz.
And do you love it?
It's amazing, yeah.
Sorry to cut you off. Can we close with a couple of fight questions before we let Randy get back to what he's doing?
Yeah.
Rip it.
Yeah.
So UFC 200. Talk about what it's like to be across the cage with Brock Lesnar and then lock horns with him. Because the guy is, you know, he's walking around at 6'3 and 285 pounds, and you got in there. You were not a gigantic heavyweight.
I was a small heavyweight, and for me, I boiled everything down to wrestling. I knew he had a great wrestling pedigree. He's a great athlete. For a guy his size, he moves amazingly well. And this is going to be the difference in the fight between him and Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt is a crazy good kickboxer and a very, very good martial artist, mixed martial artist right now. He's learning other skills. He's scrambled. He's survived on the ground. He's done enough to get back up to where his strength is, which is kicking or punching guys in the head. And that's the one thing that Brock doesn't really like and never really made friends with in the MMA world, is somebody's going to punch you. Somebody, we saw it with Overeem. We saw it with Velasquez. Even with Carwin in the first round, we saw it. It still gets that little bit of gun shyness in those situations.
And you were never afraid of that?
I wasn't afraid of that.
How'd you condition yourself to that?
I broke it down. I brought a bunch of huge guys into the gym, and even none of them were still capable to mimic the ability, his athletic ability and ability to move.
But in terms of getting punched,
taking
a punch, because
that's the one thing
you don't seem to like.
That's the one thing. Yeah, it's something I made friends with early. My coach put me in the corner, literally in the corner where there was no place to go. And he started throwing punches at me. And sooner or later, you stop doing this and you start opening your eyes and you start trying to catch those punches and block those punches.
My coach, before my first fight, and I'm at the lowest level of amateur boxing, Derek Harmon put me in the corner and said, you know, you kind of turn away. So he said, today, when we spar, I need you to pick black eye or bloody nose. I'm like, you know, eat poop. And he's like, no, really. And so I picked bloody nose, and about 1 minute into the first round, bam. Bloody nose, and he goes, fight through it and go through. And now I don't turn. I get hit a lot, but I don't turn away. Right?
You have to make friends with it. I don't care how good you are or think you are.
So I had to tip the waitress. But did you ask about Brock?
I did.
So can he come back? I mean,
I have some questions.
Me too.
First of all, I'm talking about what an amazing athlete he is, and I don't care if it's a WWE or whatever. He's an amazing physical specimen, and he's an amazing athlete. But he's taking this fight on 1 month's notice.
Wow.
He's fighting a guy who's been active, who's fought two or three times in the last year, who's a world-class kickboxer, Hunt. And now has adapted himself to mixed martial arts.
Also a massive dude with gigantic legs.
It's a very, very bad idea, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I hope he's getting a huge paycheck and that he's holding Dana and the UFC's feet to the fire, which is probably the case.
Yeah,
I agree, and I'm going to get good value, and I'm betting
they're trying to sell this company. They want a huge pay-per-view for UFC 200 that makes it look good for the Chinese, whoever have or are buying this thing. And that's the sole reason for bringing him in. They brings in the biggest pay-per-views we've had have been with him involved because he brings in the WWE crowd.
Interesting. All right, break time?
We can do it.
Okay.
There you go. Randy Couture.
Randy, that was awesome.
Pleasure.
That was awesome.
We'll come back in just a few to Sapphire. We're here at the Day Club.